Okay, good morning to all of you. And first of all, thank you for inviting me to be here with you today and to be able to share with you what we are doing on the Commission on Digital Preservation. I am relatively new to the business, but not that new, since for the past 5 years before my current position at head of unit of the unit dealing with research on digital preservation, I was managing a unit on access to information on the Commission. So I have been very much involved in all issues linked to public sector information, open data, digital libraries, digitization, preservation. So I have been relatively close to the policy part of your of the digital preservation, to the multidisciplinarity of digital preservation, that I would talk a little bit about it. So that is my background, and you know where I come from. I have been working in the Commission for many years, and also dealing with issues on technology policy, innovation, and technology transfer. So that is a bit my background. Now, in my talk today, I'm going to talk to you on five things. First of all, a short introduction to some of the key policy initiatives that the Commission is doing on digital preservation, which are related to digital preservation. And then we will move to the core of the talk, would be research, looking at what we did in the past, what we are doing now in our research projects, what I would call the short future, which is the call that we are opening in January. Well, it's known to everybody that was opened a long time ago, but closes in the month of April. And then I would look to the longer future, which is what the Commission is cooking on the future of FP, or the framework programs, that we will not call them FP8 any longer. We are going to call it Horizon 2020. And I'm going to tell you a little bit where things are and the new developments that go around that area. So that is what I would like to share with you today. So on EU actions linked to digital preservation, we had been, I'm going to put this. Can you put this on the home screen? This one?
Oh, just click on. Oh, you want to see that?
Yeah, I want to see the slide here, if you don't mind. Okay, look at it there. Okay, fine. So, digital preservation in the Commission is not a new topic. We started in the year 2005 when Mrs. Reding, Commissioner for Information Society, took office. We started our work on the Digital Libraries Initiative with three building blocks. One was digitization. The second one was about online accessibility of things that were digitized, and the third pillar was digital preservation. And that brought, for the first time, it brought to the attention of the policy people the issues about how we're going to preserve and the fragility of all the digital objects that we have. So that started in 2005. There was a recommendation to the member states, which had one big chapter about digital preservation. And last week or 10 days ago, this recommendation to the member states was updated. So this is really coming directly from the oven. So there is an important chapter about digital preservation, and we are calling the member states to make efforts there, to organize the work, to plan for organized collections and preservation of our data, and don't think that these things will be preserved like the old photographs that were in the old ladies. When you go to my mother's place, you see photographs there from 1920 or even before, from my grandparents and before. That will not happen if we do nothing with our photographs on digital forms. So we really brought that issue to the attention of the member states. Subsequently, we are working with the member states strongly in the Commission. We have a working group and we have experts that are discussing these topics directly, and we are trying to share information. You are doing it in a person on technology side, we are doing with policy people from the different ministries. We're trying to bring the policy dimension so that really member states dedicate sufficient time and effort to organize their collections and to put money into these topics. Last year, we also, through after the arrival of Commissioner Cruz, there was an important report that we call it the Comité des Sages. Well, before that, we did also work on scientific information. So we also had a communication on scientific information in the digital age. This looking at issues about access to scientific information, questions about open access, questions about data, what can we do with data, reuse of data. So we were looking to all these issues. What happens with the scientific publications, open access and scientific publications, who pays for that? And they were important ways that we addressed and recommendations we made on that respect. This is going to be revisited very soon, and by March 2012, we are going to have a new communication with a recommendation to the member states on how to handle scientific information and how to deal with issues of open data, how in the new framework program the questions of access and open data to research results is going to be handled. So there's going to be a commission policy on that, relatively ambitious towards really sharing resources, at the same time, of course, making the necessary requests in our programs to make sure that the data produced by the research that we fund is also kept and kept properly for the future generations. And all these things, you know very well, that are not at all easy. Last year also, we had an interesting work by the Comité des Sages, who were three persons led by a man called Maurice Lévy, who is the chief executive officer of Publicis, the biggest communication group in France. He was the person who organized the EG8 Internet Summit last year with President Sarkozy in France. So, and there, again, people from the libraries, himself and others, look at the issues of what can we do in order to bring our cultural heritage online. And we were dealing with the issues of digital preservation again. So that's another important document that calls on the importance of taking the necessary actions to organize our collections and to dedicate sufficient time, effort, and funding to this area. And as I told you yesterday, as I told you just before, there was the recommendation on digitization and digital preservation that has just been approved. I mean, all these things, why are these important? Because they provide important guidance and hooks in which we can build our work. It's not the same thing to say we are doing research here out of the blue because we like it in an objective. No. There's an important policy behind this, and we are dealing with the multidisciplinarity of many of these issues, and research is a block on that. And we get much better through if we are able to really integrate it in a holistic approach, and that is what all these objectives and all these documents can help you in that purpose. Apart from that, there are other documents. There is the Riding the Wave report that it is very present in your work. We will have Professor John Wood, my colleague, Costas Glinas, will be addressing you tomorrow, and they will be discussing also on that important document. It's not a commission document. It's a report coming from external experts, but it was commissioned by the commission, and you could call it that it is in the commission, let's say, document environment, if you want to put it that way. Now, let's talk about research. And I can say, and this was obviously credit to my predecessors, and notably to Pat Manson, Carlos Oliveira, and other persons you know well, we can say that we really were pioneering in the Commission when we started in FP6 about research on digital preservation. Certainly in certain countries, these issues were not addressed. We managed in FP6 to create awareness. We were working basically with memory organizations that were the drivers at that time of the questions of digital preservation. And we created a solid base of research in Europe, and we also contributed strongly to the question of standards that Professor Jeffrey has very clearly told us the importance of that. So I think we were important contributors on that. So that was FP6. From FP6, we moved to where we are today, FP7, in which we have been dealing with different issues, linking from fundamental research and not moving from one little document to that, but looking into much more complex issues about interactive objects, embedded documents, how can we preserve the web? And we have had some interesting projects around that, the Planets Project, the LIBA project, which has been looking at how to preserve the internet and how do we are going to preserve websites, which is far, far from obvious. And they have also been looking at all the issues of multidisciplinarity in those projects. Call it copyright, call it questions of data privacy, and all these issues around this work. So we are doing work on fundamental research. We have been talking about applied research and development. So we have been looking at the specific problems of some specific types of objects, call it audiovisual archives. We have collections, videotapes, and other types of content, but I mean, we have to preserve these resources. How do we do it? Where are the technologies? Well, many times those technologies did simply not exist. So they had to be really project champions in developing these technologies together with academia and industrial partners. So we have been doing research in that area. I think the Presto Prime project is a good example of that. We have, of course, been looking at issues that address, I hope, the concerns that Professor Jeffrey mentioned about the difficulties in digital preservation. So issues about the scalability, issues about automation. I mean, we will have to decide what are we going to preserve. I mean, we cannot do that manually. So we have to really look at that with tools. And this is not a settled thing. The world is dynamic. Volumes of information are growing enormously. So we have been looking into that. And we have been looking into different sectors from the memory organizations and from books and from audiovisual archives. We have moved in our current projects to other type of data. So financial information, health information, and others. What's the message here? I mean, the message here really is that digital preservation from the memory organizations and a sort of vertical work has moved completely to horizontal issue. I mean, this is a problem of every organization, where you are a memory organization, you are a business, you are running medical records, or you are in, I mean, imagine an aeronautical company who has to keep the plans and the history and the data of all these planes that are going to be there flying for 40, 50 years. So, I mean, you really have to keep all that information, so it has been really addressed to everybody. And now it's addressed also to us as a persons. Who's going to keep our data? I mean, these things are on the table now. So there is, of course, this is something which the level of capillarity has reached all society. So that's another important thing we have observed in recent times. We have, of course, been, and that is typical commission work, networking. So we wanted to broaden the digital preservation community. I mean, we've got projects, Aparson, which has been generously funded by the European Community. And Casper and others, so I mean, I don't think it would have been nice to hear some words about the importance of the community in all your work. We have had led to some foundations. I think this is quite important. I mean, the Planets Project has led to the Open Planets Foundation. Presto Prime has now led to Presto Center. They want to become competent centers. All the information, all the technologies that they have developed, really share them with others and become reference points in all this work. As I say, all this is recent and ongoing work. You cannot see perhaps much there, but this is in our website. We run a digital preservation workshop in the month of May, and some of you attended there. And we looked at the organizations that had been working in our projects. And at the beginning, they were memory organizations. And now, those ones who have come light are industry organizations. So we have got people from IBM leading one of our projects. So this simply shows to you the amount of broadness of the actors that have now involved on these topics. And I think a person should, of course, tries to get this holistic view with partners from academia, from important organizations with huge amount of data, but also bringing in the industrial dimension. We have also been looking about the type. You see there, you've got memory organizations, scientific institutions, you've got private companies or governmental organizations. So we have all the share of those actors in our project. memory organizations, scientific institutions have been in the lead, but lately we see important people from enterprise and private organizations. And then money. We started small in FP5, we got a bit more money in FP6, and really in FP7 we have had an important amount of money, which has allowed us to do much more work, to be much more present, to be here today. And this, of course, coupled to the work that my colleagues in the infrastructures program, in the capacities programs are doing, and I know you are also running projects with Costas. So, I mean, all this work complementary what we do in our research unit, what they do in their capacities units, and this is what the Commission has been doing. Now, some examples of projects. We have been dealing with issues of emulation in the KIP project. We have been looking to preserving the internet in the LIVA project, standards in CASPER. So we have been looking to really different types of topics, and certain good successes can come out of these projects. So let's really keep the momentum and keep the momentum in a person and in other projects. Now, let's talk a bit to the immediate future. We have a call that is formally open on the 18th of January and closes on the 17th of April. We've got 30 million euro of budget. We have an info day. This is not written here, but we have an info day on the 15th of November in Luxembourg. So if you want to share with us the day, we would be giving in-depth explanations, and you will have the possibility to meet with Commission officials and have the possibility to discuss with us your ideas, to discuss with yourselves the possible ideas of projects. What are we trying to do in this call? Well, we hope we are addressing all the issues that Professor Jeffrey mentioned. So, of course, I mean, digital preservation, we need to keep our resources, and those resources are fragile, and software is fragile. And so the first target of the project, of course, is more reliable and secure preservation technologies and methods so that organizations can rely on professional tools that will keep their data there for good. Second challenge is we cannot keep everything, so we'll have to take decision of what is kept and what is thrown away. And how are we going to do that? Well, we are going to do that through intelligent management of preservation. Of course, we're not going to be doing stupid management of preservation, so I think the intelligent word there, we could take it away. But basically, we really want to look into those methods who can help us in automating the process and making the good selections. This will have to look at issues that go beyond technology only. Questions of data privacy are extremely important. If we want to keep health data, that's a crucial topic. Questions of copyright and who is the author of what, I mean, that's again an extremely important issue. If we want to use the data and to have preserve our data, we don't want to have dark archives. They are closed over there that nobody can look there and go with your tapes to your person and say migrate them every 5 years, but don't use them at all. You have no rights of doing anything else but migrating them. I mean, no, we want to use those resources. So we will have to tackle those issues of copyright and usability. So it's a multidisciplinary issue that we are looking there. Of course, we are going to be looking at building networks. Again, we want to bring people together and work together. And at the same time, we want to make sure that what comes out of the projects also get economic impact, and if there are ways in which we can support projects or afterwards in order to develop this innovation angle, and the innovation angle that can create jobs and innovation opportunities, that is very important. It's very important today, as you very well know, with the crisis we are living, we really have to try to get as much as possible the exploitation angle and try to make sure that digital preservation is also going to have an economic dimension. And it's also going to become a business. And we need to do that efficiently, and we need to provide services, and we should not forget that there are important opportunities on this. Now, that is the immediate angle. That is the immediate angle of what we are going to be doing in the next year of research, and this is what we will be presenting in depth on the 15th of November in Luxembourg. Now, for the longer future, Then the question, we organized a workshop in Luxembourg on November, on May. It's in a website. Some of you participated. I invite you to take a look at what you and many of you said together of what were the challenges for the future. So we were talking about preserving files of data. That's what's being done now. Then what was the near future that we are tackling in our programs? So it's the question about complex materia, heterogeneous content, web applications, process, what are we going to do with the metadata, how are we going to get that metadata updated and adapted with web semantics and these issues. This is what we are talking today. For the future, we are really talking about knowledge and user experiences. So how can we really, and basically how are we going to capture that knowledge of organizations together with the data. Then we looked at innovative technologies. Now, then we will be looking at the idea in the near future was to scaling volumes, parade material with how are we go, what are we doing? That's the next call. But then the question is, in the longer term, we need to look at other ways of doing things. So we were talking about transparent technologies, preservation embedded in the digital objects. We talked about the life cycle of data. So in a way, basically, it's from the beginning, how can we make the data collected in ways that we can assure that it's going to be auto-preserved, if we can put it that way, and that the data will itself be able to move with time. So another important research topic for the very, very future. And from moving from memory organization, this has changed in all type of organizations now. So we not only have memory organizations, other type of organizations. And then the question also is the digital memory of society and the past. And this is other challenges. So this will bring other issues. Who's going to preserve the web? Who's going to preserve the blogs? Do we have to preserve the blogs? I mean, it would be probably difficult to understand what has happened in Libya or in Syria if you read the official newspapers. So, I mean, social networks were crucial there. If we don't keep that information, it would be difficult to analyze our cultural heritage and the memory of our societies. But the question is, who's doing it? How should we do it? It is the national libraries who have to do it? And then the answer probably everybody say yes. And then the question, have they got the resources? I mean, how are we going to do that? How should we do it? Who should preserve our block? Should we preserve my block that doesn't exist yet? I mean, it's questions that are on the table that we'll have to find solutions for that. And that is very much linked to areas of our future work that I will present to you quite shortly. So now, let's look at what the Commission would be doing as from 2014, when the current framework program will expire. So the Commission adopted in the month of June last year a proposal for the community funding for the period to 2014 to 2020. And that is called the Midterm Financial Perspectives, Financial Framework, and that is on the table of the Member States and the Parliament. So that is how the big money of the EU will be approved and organized. Now the debate now is how much should the community budget be? And there are some countries which of course want it to be very high with an important cohesion amount of money so that they get structural funds and get money from Brussels to the member state, to them, and other member states that consider that in the current area of crisis and times of crisis, the budget should shrink importantly, and that the Commission ideas are simply out of realism. And that is the political debate today. Well, they will reach an objective. It will be at 5 o'clock in the morning one day, sometime in next year. And there will be an amount of money that will be given to agriculture, to regional policies, and to research and innovation. So my first message to you is fight for that. Don't wait there, sitting there, thinking that the people, you are going to get the money by definition or by gravity. You have to make your case. We have to make our case. So we have to say why research and innovation is important with concrete examples. And today, when I say concrete examples, it's very good to talk about digital preservation, but it's very important to talk about innovation and jobs. And you have to make the case why digital preservation is important. And of course, that is embedded in ICT and is embedded in innovation as a goal. But it's crucial that we can say that competitiveness is through innovation and research, and that we need to have the necessary resources in order to do that. So you can put it many ways. You can say that if the information, we don't keep it, it will be lost and it would cost a huge amount of money to recuperate it, if ever, because of course data that was collected some time ago might not be possible to be recollected any longer. But all the issues that you can really make your case with successful examples and success stories are important. So you have to talk to your national representatives, you have to talk to the people in charge of science and technology. They have at the same time to talk, and at the end of the day, when the definitions, when the discussions reach, I mean, the prime ministers need to have their science and technology important, crucial, and that is a work that concerns us all. The Commission has made an ambitious proposal. They have said that we have to invest much more on research and innovation. That is the future for Europe, that is competitiveness for Europe. So the Commission is completely committed to this work. We need your help, of course, and of all the research community to help us in passing these messages through and in the negotiations that will come. They have been, in addition to the Horizon 2020, which you would call it FP8, for the first time there is an additional instrument which is extremely interesting for you, which is the Connecting European Facility. In the past, that was called, for those who are more familiar with community businesses, the Trans-European Networks. So basically it was pipes that were connecting gas, petrol, roads, railways, water channels. For the first time, we have brought into that discussion telecoms and e-infrastructures as one of the key elements in order to connect Europe together. So we are talking now about broadband, but we are also talking about shared infrastructures and information facilities. So anything that is linked to infrastructures for data, infrastructures of digital repositories, I mean, that would be part of this importance of connecting European facility. And that's a new opportunity in addition to what we have been doing in Horizon 2020. So another area to keep on the radar, you and I, and saying, listen, that is important for our work. What is the Commission proposing? Well, we are proposing 80 billion of euro in current resources, which basically means 46% increase on what FP7 has been doing, which is very substantial in the current climate. Research and innovation increases in the share of the European budget, and I say there will be discussion with people of agriculture and the people of structural funds, so our bid is really very much in that direction. The work that the Commission is envisioning for Horizon 2020 is looking at three challenges: societal challenges, leading technologies, and excellence in the science base. Excellence in the science base is managed by science and very much along what the European Research Council is doing today. The issues about creating industrial leadership and competitive frameworks, that is really technologies led very much by industry in order to create the new technologies that will provide competitive advantages, new tools, new jobs, new products. Tackling societal challenges would be looking at issues that you could talk about health, you could talk about education, you could talk about cultural heritage. And when I talk in all those things, digital preservation is behind all those things. What happens to preserving our health records? What happens to preserving our cultural heritage? What happens to preserving our link to education? I mean, all our research. So really, digital preservation will be in societal challenges, it will be in leading technology. So present over there. Apart from that, the Commission is earmarking also other objectives. We would like to simplify the program so there will be simpler ways of participating in our programs. So it will be a common toolkit in all programs of funding schemes. clear set of objectives. Research and innovation go together. There's not any longer going to be what currently is the FP7 and the Competitiveness and Innovation Program. Both things go together. The innovation dimension brings much more importance in the whole setting, and this very much linked to the idea of innovation union and creating economic activity, growth, and jobs. The connecting European facilities, as I said before, new opportunity and linking very much to what we call the European digital infrastructures that could interest you really very much. All these things are things cooking. The connecting European facility was approved by the Commission, the proposal, in the month of October. So you got there quite a lot of data and information about that. We talk about competence centers on digitization and also on digital preservation. So the hooks are there in order to allow us to work together and to get funding for the future. All this, of course, is now subject to what the Member States and the European Parliament will decide. So this is will take still 1.5 years until we get all that. In the meantime, our current FP7 and CIP programs run until the end of 2013. So we have still 2 years to go in the current programs. This is, in short, you will be able to look this subsequently in the conference. This is the summary of what we plan to do in the Connecting European Facility. So that's about it. I hope that I have been able to tell you what we did in the past, what we are doing now, what we will be cooking this next year, and where are we working for the future. I count on you to participate in the future call, to succeed in the current programs, to develop new tools and make them known, and to really work strongly to make ICT, research and innovation important, and on that, digital preservation, an important component of all that. We have to do that together, and I'm sure that if we do it correctly, we will be able to keep and have the necessary funds to address all the issues that you will be addressing in the next 2 days, and hopefully to be able to have the European Union as a good partner helping in your work in the future. Thank you.